Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the teaching of our guest speaker this week. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org.
This morning, it's my privilege to stand in Pastor David's place. Really, he's on vacation today, and we're so glad that Pastor David and Allison, their kids, can be away for a few days and enjoying spring break together. I believe they're in the Grand Canyon. Isn't that cool? So the kids are probably really going to enjoy that time. Mom and Dad, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. No, they're going to have a great time. You guys pray for them that God will just refresh them and bless them, and we miss them this morning. My privilege this morning to stand in Pastor David's place and introduce our guest speaker. She's really not a guest. She's an awesome, committed member here at Arapahoe Road, but we're delighted that Don Waters Baker will be speaking in just a few minutes. Let me just read a few things to you. In the art this morning, we put a little biographical introduction to you guys who don't know Don and her family, but I hope you'll find that and take time to read that, and also follow her work on her website. Just incredible what God is doing in her life, DawnWatersBaker.com. So go there and check that out. But also this morning, Dawn has been writing these amazing meditative moments at the cross. And I don't know if you noticed this morning, the cross is draped in red, and you can read more about that significance of that color this morning in the art newsletter. But Dawn, thank you for your just continual ministry here in our church. She is the artist in residence here at Arapahoe Road. But listen to these cool things that God has given her the opportunity to do recently. She and her husband, Kendrick Baker, who serves as an elder here at Arapahoe Road, their crowning achievement is really three beautiful young ladies. And their names are Myla, Avia, and Kiva. Did I say their names right? Avia, did I say your name right? Okay, good. Yes? Okay, good. I didn't want to mess that one up. But these young girls are precious, and I know Dawn and Kendrick love them so much, and you guys are doing a great job growing a strong family, and we're proud of you, and we love you very much. And yet, even beyond their home, Dawn is just an accomplished artist. She has many pieces featured in the Mary Thomas Gallery in Dallas. She served recently as an artist residency in November of this last year with the National Park Artist Foundation at Big Bend National Park in Texas here. And one of her pieces recently was selected to be placed in the New York Times building. That's right. New York Times building in New York City. And so that's just amazing how God is taking her work and just receiving glory and just giving her opportunities to shine for him. And that's just great, Dawn. We rejoice with you and celebrate all of those things. Most recently, Dawn was invited to come and speak at Dallas Theological Seminary and as well as Dallas Baptist University, talking about the role of art in life and worship and in our Christian faith. And so she is really, God is surprising her regularly with these opportunities to speak. It's she doesn't feel comfortable all the time doing that, but God speaks through you every time, Dawn, and we're just so proud of you and God's touch on your life and your family right now. We just pray continued blessing on you. She's going to come in just a few minutes. I'm thrilled that she's wrapping up our series on created to worship. And so you'll hear all about that in just a few minutes. Before she comes to speak, I want you to see a video that will kind of focus our minds on what she's about to say, all right?
Have you ever stopped to think about worship and what it is? Is it stand up, sit down, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? Is it personal or private or both or neither? Is there a reason we all sing together? Can I just do that thing at home? Should I worship? Why should I worship? Who should I worship? Where does worship fall on the list of priorities? That's a lot to unpack. Most of the time, worship is thought of as the thing you do inside the big house on Sunday mornings. Pack the family up, we're going to worship. Singing, clapping, raising our hands, but not too high. But this is just a subset of worship. Worship, as it applies to us, is something ongoing and happens outside the church building walls the rest of the week. All the what's, whys, and hows of worship run together when you start asking, what do I ascribe worth to? Think of it this way. Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem, and everyone thinks, great, Jesus is coming. This guy will really change things. Then they all threw down palm branches, worshiping him for something he wasn't going to do, like improve their lives or run the Romans out of town. They should have worshiped him because he was going to take away the sins of the world, and that's worth a lot. Whatever you think is worth your time gets it. The proof is in the pudding. You can talk a big game all day long, but whatever compels you in a visible, tangible way is what you actually worship. Try this. Evaluate your week. What motivated you? Money, family, comfort, women, honor, God? What got your time, attention, and affection? Whatever keeps you doing whatever it is you do is what you are worshiping. If you are not sure what it is that you worship, just ask a complete stranger to take a look at your life, and they could tell you in about a second. So, whatever it is that you ascribe worth to is what you worship.
Hello. Good to see you guys. Actually, I can't see you. I know you're there. Oh, there you are. would you thank Pastor Dan with me? He has just been such a blessing, hasn't he, through this series? Thank you, Pastor Dan. It's been such an honor to get to hear him more. I don't know about you, but I'm come preach anytime, right? I just thought this series has been so wonderful, and I've even heard the level of worship in this room strengthen and be more in depth, I feel like, through the series. And I don't know about you, but it's been such a blessing. So, Pastor Dan, thank you. He's also spoken into my life a few times, and I don't know if he knows this, but a few times I always feel a little awkward as a woman coming up here during the sermon time. I don't believe women should be pastors. That's just a belief in mine. But the Lord has given me the ability to speak about art today, okay? So I'm not coming as a pastor. But I do say that because Pastor Dan said to me, Don, you're an artist and you're a seer. And so you see things that we don't, and you're coming today to help us see. And I thought, wasn't that a great thing to speak over an artist? And so I just share that with you who are artists in this room, that you are a seer. You see things that perhaps other people do not, and so it can be your role to also help us to see those things, to hear those things. So, all right, well, I'd like to start by just sort of talking to the artists in the room. So if you're not an artist, please don't tune out, but just to those artists in this room, I'd like to spend just a few minutes, and I've got my timer this time, right, so I'm always go long, but I'd like to talk about the role of artists, all right, in worship. And I'd like to start with the scripture from Exodus chapter 31, and I'm just going to read it. It's the Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to make in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you. And you see that's in Exodus 31, 1-6. So, ever get a trivia question, where's the first artist in the Bible? By the way, it's God. He's the one that created in chapter 1. But the first man artist that's named in the Bible is Bezalel and his sidekick, Aholiab. The name Bezalel means, this is very significant, I think, Bezalel means in the shadow of the Almighty. I think that's very significant for artists, because for us to be in the shadow, our culture tends to put artists way up high on a pedestal, and they're seen as gods in a way. We also take artists and we shove them way down in society too. I've been many times in an art gallery where a little boy will come running in, this actually happened to me, came in and came running up and said, I want to be an artist someday. And I said, oh, that's so, I was just about to talk to him, and his father grabbed him and said, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't make any money with that, right? And immediately he had commodified art to the only worth that it has is if it makes money, right? And so for me to speak to you today and saying you're in the shadow of his wings, by the way, the other word for that in the Hebrew is you're in the protection of his wing. And as artists, we are in his protection. Protection from society outside of us, telling us we need to be this big thing. And also within us that says, I must be something special, right? I tell my girls this all the time. God gave you a gift. Did you earn it? No. Did you deserve it? No. Absolutely. But it is for you to use for the glory of God. Now, I didn't earn it or deserve it, but I want to give God the glory and say thank you. Thank you that for me and several of us in this room, I'm sure, there are things that come to us naturally, right, that God has given to us. Why have art enhanced worship? And if you'll look at the next slide, I put some reasons there. To put our senses, all of who we are, into worship. If we think about it, we are sight people, hearing people, right? Touch people, taste. We're pretty good about that with potlucks, aren't we? Right? But we are sensory beings, right? And artists can take this wonderful word and open the pages and help you sense it, help you taste it, help you see it, help you hear it. As a matter of fact, we had some of that this morning with the beautiful choir, and we heard the word over us, right? So one of the roles of artists is to bring those senses to life. In Psalm 34, verse 8, this is kind of a common one. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Has anybody in this room ever tasted the Lord and seen that the Lord is good? Oh, I have seen that the Lord is good. But the Lord's table is a reminder every week that we take in those senses. We taste the cup, we taste the bread, we smell it, we sense the color of it and the color of the bread, right? The smell of the bread, if it was bread from the oven, right? These are sensory perceptions that God invites us into in Scripture. And by the way, if you look through your entire Bible, you'll see many, many things that God is talking about the sense of him. As a deer pants for water, my soul longeth after thee. That's what David writes. Have you ever panted like you want water? Ever felt that way? Well, this is the way to into how God wants us to be with him. And then, just as a side note, I think is interesting, we are not just intellect. We are souls and bodies. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your mind, right? I think we've got the mind one down very well in the Protestant church. Would you agree with me? We really take the Scripture seriously, and by the way, we should. That is amazing, and we should do that. But taking our hearts along with us, not being afraid of emotion. And I know if you're like me, I'm not one of those that likes to raise my hand during the song. You know, I'm just not that way. But I feel it. I absolutely feel it when we're singing. And we're also made in bodies. N.T. Wright, and that's pastor's favorite theologian, but N.T. Wright says, God saved us not just as souls, but as wholes. He saved us body, soul, mind. So for artists to bring to the table the entirety of the word is our calling in this regard, to piggyback on that. Well, I want us just to go to, I just want to invite you. When they asked me to come speak, they said, well, please tell us about your time in Big Bend. And so with the National Park Arts Foundation, I was able to take a month in November to go to Big Bend National Park. I don't know about any ladies in this room, but any of you able to just to take a month off of your life and just go vacation, you know? No. By the way, it wasn't really a vacation. It was wonderful, but I was working. But none of us would think of taking time off, especially with three children, right, to just go into the desert, right? Right? But God made a way for me. My wonderful mom and dad are here today. They helped watch the kids for several days. And then my sweet husband, and who made such sacrifices for me to be able to go. This has been Big Bend National Park. If you'll see the one on the left, that's where it's located, kind of right there on the Rio Grande. So you're really looking over into Mexico and certain places in the park. If you look on the right, that's the park itself. It's 800,000 acres. about the size roughly of Rhode Island. If I was to drive from one end to the next end, it took about 2 hours, roughly, with the speed limits and everything like that. Why am I sharing this with Worth Worship? Because I want to invite you into the senses that I experienced here. Was God in Big Bend? Is God just in the Sunday morning worship? Right? I think you know the answer to that, but it's sometimes good to be reminded that he is ever present and waiting for us. By the way, I believe that the Lord was waiting for me in the desert, that he had already prepared a way for me, that he was waiting to speak to me there. And all I had to do was listen to him. And so the next one, here's some of the pictures of the wilderness. And I don't take that word lightly, wilderness. If any of you are doing the study through Exodus like we are right now in our Sunday school, the wilderness was a place of refining, right? A place of refining our faith. Where God works in our weakness, where God shows up in our weakness. And by the way, the wilderness reminds you how weak you are. It's fast, vast, and you don't know where the water is. And you don't know what's out there. 800,000 acres worth of it, right? And I felt as my job as the artist in residence was to see it all. I had to see everything that I could, that I possibly could. This was one of my favorite overlooks. Here's the morning light coming through the Chihuahuan Desert. There's actually, of the things in the park, there's river, the Rio Grande River. There is mountains. It's the only park that encapsulates mountains, an entire mountain range. If I gave you a satellite photo, you'd see a very green circle amidst a huge brown vast desert. And so these mountains rise to about 8,000 feet, and then the vast Chihuahuan Desert. And so the beautiful light, and then there's Kendrick and I, our campsite, the first night that we arrived at Big Bend. It was very difficult to leave the girls, I'll say that. I cried having to leave my sweet girls. I know if you're like me, it's like great to get a break from them, but not that long, you know? I mean, that's a long time. And I felt like, Lord, is this right? Should I do this? And every step of the way, the Lord was showing me, you know what? You need to go, you need to do this. And Kendrick had put up the tent, and we were eating our meager dinner of peanuts and raisins or something, I was trying to get this bear canister open, and I cannot do it. And he goes, look, and I looked up. And the limestone rocks in the distance, I'll show you the painting I did of it, but just glowed this gorgeous orange and blue color. And I just took my breath away. And I'm just going to be very vulnerable with you right now. I started to cry. And I said, how could I possibly paint such beauty? I cannot do this. They got the wrong person. That's what I told Kendrick. And the Lord was speaking through Kendrick to me, and he said, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. You know, all you have to do is agree with God in it. You hear me? All we have to do is agree with God in it by saying the word we say when we pray, amen. So be it. So be it, God. Isn't that a sweet truth? So the next morning, we arrived to get our keys for my residence where I would be. This is the park ranger station. And this was my little apartment. It was really nice to see those walls, I'll be honest. I didn't know if I was going to be sleeping in the van or what I was going to be doing. So we really went out by faith there. And so that was my place. And then a couple of days went by, and Kendrick had to get back to our girls. That was difficult too. I'll just be honest with you. He'd been my rock and my strength through all that time. He'd helped me through, encouraged me there, and then to have him not be there, you know, and not there for 2 weeks. So I was like, all right, okay, yeah. But he woke up very early that morning, and we said our goodbyes. I was teary, of course, but I knew that he needed to get back, and that was the right thing to do. But I went out to see the sunrise over the Chisos Mountains on the Maxwell Scenic Drive, and I stayed there until the light just crested that peak. And it was very purple, as you can see, and the light was kind of white. And I heard this very distinct sound for a long time. By the way, it's very quiet there. Not a sound. And I heard this flapping noise for a long time. And finally, when I looked up, when it finally came, it was a raven. The raven was the size of a large house cat, by the way, and just flopped right there by me. And I just looked at it, and it just looked at me, you know, and incredible. By the way, this is really interesting. The park rangers were talking to me about the animal life there. Ravens in a group, you've probably heard of this, a grouping of crows is called a murder of crows. A grouping of ravens is called an unkindness. And the reason is because they get sort of more bolder when they're together, and they really can take down large animals, these ravens. I only saw one, so I was okay. But I say that because, have you ever thought of Elijah and the brook Cherith? And who fed him at the brook? Do you remember? The ravens fed him. And only God could orchestrate those animals that together would be very unkind to do a kindness. Right? I thought that was an incredible insight into Elijah's story when I heard about that. And I welcome you guys to think about animals like that, to say, God, you've designed them to be this way. Why? Why are some wild and some are tamed? And yet we can learn from the design of our God by it, can we not? The artistry, the science, the engineering of our God. And the next one, we had a lot of coyotes. I would be sitting out there drinking my coffee and one would just run right by me. And I'd think, I'm going in, you know? Right? Incredible, beautiful animals. And by the way, this is really interesting. If there was a nuclear explosion, scientists believe that the animal that would live, that would continue to endure, would be the coyote. Why? Because of its craftiness, because it seems to adapt to anything. I don't know if you have seen, I've seen many a coyote on Holford Road, right? Just right here by our church. And they are just very clever animals. As a matter of fact, every time I saw them, they were looking down for these rat kangaroos. And these rat kangaroos look like a tiny little gerbil, and they have these really big back legs, and they jump up. And the coyote can grab them quite quick, and I just thought that was interesting. Now, my coyote story, I'm sleeping in my apartment one night, and nobody's there, right? And I hear this howling about 2 o'clock, 2:15 in the morning, very, very loud. And I woke up because it was so loud, and I thought, wow, that's incredible. What an incredible thing to hear. And it died down about 3 o'clock in the morning, roughly around then. I heard this on my wall, and I realized it was their tails. They were right there on my porch, boom, boom, boom. And then when they howled, ooh, they howled, and I could feel their voices in my chest. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be so great to paint. You know, I thought, oh, what an incredible feeling for a landscape painter to feel those voices, to know them to be real. By the way, I was in their home. I was in their home. And they were including me in this wonderful night. And I thought, whoa, thank you, God, that you have such creativity, such power, such glory, such magnificence in the things that you make. And I wanted to show you this outcropping of rocks. This is not when I went, but that night, Kendrick had left that morning. That night, I went down to the Rio Grande, and I was going to watch the sunset through the tunnel. I was going to come on this pull-off right here, and I was going to watch it crest right through it. And I thought that'd be a cool-looking thing. And so I'm taking the van down, and I'm pulling over, and then go ahead to the next one. What did I see but a mountain lion on those rocks? standing on those rocks. And I'm just like, I'm rolling up the window, you know. And I was shaking, you know, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the mountain lion. This is so incredible. You know, it's this magnificent animal and it's staring right at me. And I'm staring, of course, right at it. And I was so excited. The next day I told the park ranger, the man I hung out with the most and his wife, David, I said, David, I saw a mountain lion. And he goes, you what? I said, I saw a mountain. He goes, some of us have lived here 10 years and never seen a mountain lion, you know? And I was like, I'm that incredible that I got to see. Now, take a picture of this picture in your mind because I will refer back to it. But there's an incredible animal there. Okay. And I went for this quiet beauty, letting it seep into me. This was an actual shot from the canyon where I was staying. And I would get up very early in the mornings before the sunrise so I can get to that spot and watch the sunrise. And then later that day, I would go to another place to watch the sunset. Those are two special times in the day where I felt like God was really present and speaking to me in the beauty. And there's another one here. Yeah, isn't that incredible? Look at the layers of it. Look at that depth of color. And God does it like that, like that. Takes me weeks and months, and I don't even look like that after that, right? Incredible God. Don't we have an incredible God? God is great and powerful and wild, and yet we box him in. Don't we box him in at times? We say, God, show up on Sunday. Would you come and be here only? Right? And I'm not saying that that's wrong for us to invite him into our worship. Absolutely not. But could I worship what he's done in the vastness and the things that I can't contain? I cannot contain that. I don't want to, by the way. I want to enjoy that vastness. Psalm 19, if you'll just look at that with me, I don't have it written out, but Psalm 19 is actually C.S. Lewis's favorite psalm, and he's my favorite writer, so I have to include him. Psalm 19 says, the heavens, look at that picture, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Look, listen to this, day to day they pour forth speech, and night to night reveal knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Wow. Isn't that true? Isn't that true when you see that? Yeah. And the next one. Big Bend is known for gold tier night skies. As a matter of fact, it's one of the darkest night skies in North America. All the park rangers told me it is the darkest, but I'm not sure if I went to a different park if other park rangers would say that too. But why is it dark? Because there is no major city near Big Bend. If you're in Death Valley National Park, the dome from Las Vegas is so bright at night that you cannot see any night stars in Death Valley. But here in Big Bend, it was light. Everything is dark. By the way, you could stick your hand out in front of you and I could not see my fingers. I'd go like this and I'd think, oh, I can't see it. It is so thick. And yet there is the heavens declaring the glory of God. What are we missing, guys? What are we missing when we have these false senses of security? And I share that because of our light bulbs, of our walls, right? We put up walls, we gotta turn lights on all the time, right? Okay, now I'm safe, right? What are we missing by stepping out by faith and saying, I don't know what's out there, but, and there he is, he showed up in this vast, extraordinary space. And by the way, what we're looking at is space dust. Scientists believed it's really dust that's lit by billions and billions of suns. Think about that. We are the dust of the earth, right? We are the dust. And when the light hits us, are we not beauty? Right? Yeah. And beautiful land. Okay. And then the next one is a verse that just became kind of a life verse for me while I was there. I wrote it on a card and I put it up in my room, and it says, those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. I wonder if you might look at that. Those living far away fear your wonders. Those who live in remote places, they know about your wonders. They see your wonders. They understand it. I'd be with these park rangers. And guys, this, by the way, that is a mission field. There was not one park ranger that I met that was a believer. But I would be with them, and they'd talk about the wonders of Big Bend. And I think, man, you are so close to God. You are like this close. If you only knew him, right? Because they understood the wonder of it. They were, there's, you can explain the science, but it's still wonderful. It's still incredible. And they understood that. And then where morning dawns and evening fades, that was where I like to be, right? I like to see that. So yes, okay, so the next thing that happened to me was the fear and awe, right? So one Sunday morning, yes, Sunday morning, I did not go to church. I went hiking and actually felt the Lord telling me to go hiking. Now, don't use that when you're going here, okay? Don't use that. The Lord told me to go hiking because Don said it was okay. All right. But went hiking that morning. I felt him very strongly saying, no, you need to go. You need to go up those mountains and see. And it was about a 7-mile hike up the Pinnacle Peaks and then down. And the reason I wanted to go was the maples were turning. It was November and they were bright and red and you know my love for trees, and I thought, oh, I've got to see it with my own eyes. But as I started my hike, these were the signs along the way. This is bear country. When hiking, never leave your packs or food, da-da-da-da, right? And then my favorite one is the mountain lion one. It says, a lion has been frequenting this area and could be aggressive. You know, and then it has these little cartoons of what to do and not to do. So like one of them is like, don't run. And there's this guy going, you know, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I've got my walking stick, you know, help me, right? And but I did have to get past that. Being by, I was by myself. I had to get past it and say, what am I going to trust you? You've called me out to this place to see this place with my own eyes, to take in your beauty. Are you going to take care of me out there? And by the way, what about us guys? What about in the city? What are the dangers and the fears that we have here? Are we worried about our politics? I know I am at times, I confess it. And yet, does God not have us? Does he not know the path that we would walk? Does he not have a way for us through this? He does. And so here I went on my way, and I got to kind of the mid-level of meadow. And I love this meadow. This is soft yellow grass. It's actually a favorite of the bears, I was told. They like to roll in it. And boy, I wanted to, too. I was looking at it like, oh, that looks so soft. And it was just a very cold day, about in the 30s. And there was a lot of mist happening. And so I would be walking for quite a long ways, and then I would see another person coming down. I never saw another person coming up with me, and I kept thinking, well, I hope I'm going the right way. You know, and anyway, kept going. And as I kept going, I saw the maples. Oh, they were just the glorious little gems, like at the top. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. And it was cool. The air was cool and crisp. By the way, I don't know if you're following Scott Kelly, the astronaut that just got back this week from 1 year in space. And they were studying the effects of space on a body. Asked him, what did you miss the most, Scott? What was the one thing you missed the most? And you know what he said? He didn't say family or food. He said fresh air. And I felt it. I felt that fresh. And it was kind of moist out. And you could smell the trees. And I kept walking. And this is Mexican Jay. And by the way, this is top park for birders. So many kinds of species of birders, especially in the spring, that all birders come to this park. But this Mexican Jay was kind of purplish and blue. The picture doesn't do it justice, but has quite a personality. I was sitting there eating my snack, and it was like, boopity, 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 you know, and just come hopping and would not leave me alone. And I finally looked at it, and I said, would you like me to take your picture? And it's like, beepity, beepity. And I did take its picture. And then it was okay. You know, but I thought, isn't that amazing? God makes each kind of bird. There were some birds that were very shy, and they didn't want to say. If you went around them, they'd get real quiet. There are some birds, if you run around them, just very outspoken and very flamboyant. Isn't that incredible, the way God makes his nature so different, so vastly different from one another, and so we can enjoy it? Yeah. And then when I got to the top of the pinnacles, you get to the top and there's another bear sign. Bears are frequenting this country, and it has actually a box where you can keep your bear, your food, so the bears don't get you or whatever. And I'll just be honest with you, I had a very strong feeling when I got to the top. What I was going to do when I got to the top was eat my lunch, and then I was going to go back down. But I looked over the edge. I was talking to Allison about this because she's at the Grand Canyon, and Allison doesn't like heights like I don't like heights. And she's like, David and Jack can go down the canyon all they want. You know, I'm okay. And I'm thinking the same thing. When I got top to the pinnacles, I looked down for Kendrick's sake, and I said, there you go, Kendrick. And I went back. I went back, you know, because I don't like heights. But that really wasn't what was bothering me. I just had this really strong feeling like I was being watched. I was up there. And I could not shake it. And the mist was rolling over the edge of Emery Peak. And Emery Peak is the highest peak in the park. And I wanted to go all the way up that, but I had this strong feeling, you need to go back. It was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was, you know, they say when the light starts to fade that the animals start coming out, so you probably need, so I thought, all right, Lord, all right. And I started going back down. And this is me. I'm sort of kind of afraid at this point, and I'm going, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. You know, I'm singing to myself, you know. But guys, I say that because worship in fear, worship despite the fear, worship through it. Because I got all the way back, you're looking at it right now, right? I'm okay. I got back down to the bottom, and I saw David, and I said, David, I hiked the pinnacles. And he's like, oh, awesome. That picture you saw of the mountain lion, he's like, there's a really big mountain lion up there. Let me show you. And he shows me this picture of this mountain lion that lives up the pinnacles. And I was like, thanks for telling me, you know. But I thought that was incredible. By the way, I don't believe I was looked at by the mountain lion. I really believe to this day, and this might sound kind of hokey to you, but sorry, I believe I was sensing the presence of God. I believe that he is to be feared and awed and not boxed. And that the closer I was in sensing that, the more I was trembling in that presence, you know? That he got me home just fine, didn't he? Okay. And the verse I have with that is Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And I love this. Pastor Dan sent this to me. He said, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that they have been made. So they are without excuse. And then if you read it in the context, it's for unbelievers. But by the way, we're without excuse in seeing those things. We can see his eternal power, his divine nature, through the things that have been made. When's the last time you got off your phone and looked at images on the phone and scrolled through images and you went and you saw a real image? You went and you really sat under a tree and you sensed and smelled it and you saw the birds and heard them. When's the last time you got off your electronics and you really saw the creation of this incredible world? When you saw the astronaut coming back to Earth, our planet is perfectly fit for our bodies, right? And that's why it was so hard on his body in space. You think that's an incredible thought? You know, I could worship God in that thought? Absolutely, I could. Absolutely, I could. Yeah. And so then what was wonderful was the family finally arrived. Oh, sweet day, sweet day. Could not wait to get to see them. I had to teach a workshop, but I was racing down the mountain after that to see them. And I say delighting together because beauty is meant to be shared. Beauty is meant to say, look, don't you, every time you see a sunset, you think of somebody you'd like to share that with? I did. And to see my sweetheart with my 3 sweethearts out there in the sun. And I watched and I thought, oh, I love that picture. I love that picture. Yeah. Beauty is meant to be shared. God creates what we need and also to delight in it. Yeah, and let me show you a picture of something that was a real joy for my girls and I. We would see some incredible birds while we were there and learn about some incredible birds. And so we started making a bird wall. And all my girls would draw a bird. And we had little contests, who was the cutest bird, who was the most, you know, fierce. And by the way, the orange-crowned warbler is the one that won the cutest award. We loved looking at all the birds that God had made and seeing them in books and things that we'd learned about in Big Bend. And I say this because this is a wall of worship, not a worship to the birds, a worship to the God who made those incredible things. And my girls got to experience the joy of what God did. And they're not just to be taken it, we're not just to take it for granted, oh yeah, there's a bird. They're incredible, they fly. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I wanna be a bird, right? Yeah, so that's a wall. And then finally getting to work, right? Actually, I did get to work pretty quick there when Kendrick left because I thought, well, I gotta focus on the work and get it done. But it was a joy to get to do that work. Art is a response back to God, a response of saying amen to you, God. What you've done is so magnificent. I just want to amen what you've done. And that was my thought when I painted these. I would go on location and paint. I would paint in the van. Sometimes I would paint in, just in our apartment just to try to get the color right. I agree with God in it. And by the way, I've heard this from Ravi Zacharias. Art is meant to draw others in to God. Is it a sermon? Absolutely not. I can't give you the entire plan of salvation in just one piece of artwork. I know that. And that's not really the role of art. Art is to just draw you in to God. And then we hopefully coupling that with someone who's knowledgeable and talking about that with that person. But draw them in. Draw them in to God. How about you guys? What was the art piece that God drew you in with? For me, Narnia was what God drew me into himself with. And I was drawn into those books as a girl, and later, now as an older lady, I'm drawn to Aslan because of Jesus, right? And I paint what I feel, right, to draw others to that same sense of feeling. The next one is the Dead Horse Mountains. If you'll see the black peak on the right, that's where the coyotes were at first. I went out my door and there were a bunch of them running around that night before they howled, and I wondered if they were howling on that peak, but they got to my door, so they were howling nearby. But the Dead Horse Mountains are called that because there's no water for miles. But it made this incredible rainbow at night. This when there was no clouds in the sky, it made this beautiful glow. I like that, so I wanted to paint that. And then I went for the trees. And there's this wonderful tree called the Madrone tree on the left. It has this bare kind of gray bark, and the bears love it for its berries. And then the cottonwoods. Wherever there's water, there will be cottonwoods. So if you're ever in a desert, look for cottonwoods. That's what I was told. But you could find them very well in the fall because they're yellow. But anyway. And then I wanted to share this too. How could we worship, but also by loving people with our art, right? And I was able to donate this piece of art to the park. And David is the man I took one day a week. I would take an extensive hike with him. And it was like walking with a science book, okay? Because the man knows everything about science and animals and birds and climate. So every time I had a meeting with him, I would pray and I'd say, Lord, help David to see Jesus today. And I was really just really pressed on my heart to pray for him and his wife. And then Cindy is the supervisor of Big Bend National Park, and so she got to keep it in her office. This is our picture with that. But guys, there was people, even in this desolate place, there was people God wanted me to love. Me specifically. How about you? How about you, artist? Are there people that God wants you to love through your art? I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. And then as I work now, I have a solo show coming up in September just on Big Bend National Park. This year commemorates the 100th anniversary of the national parks. So how wonderful of God to have given me such an opportunity to have a show on that year, right? Isn't that kind of the Lord? And I want to do right by it. So would you pray for me? Would you pray for me in this work? This one is a larger. This was what I saw the night that Kendrick and I were camping, and he said, look. And I looked up, and I saw these beautiful limestone rocks. And guys, by the way, it's much more beautiful than that. What God did is incredible. What God did. So let me say this quote at the end. John Muir is a kind of a hero of mine. He says, we seem to imagine that since Herod beheaded John the Baptist, there is no longer any voice crying in the wilderness. But no one in the wilderness can possibly make such a mistake. For every one of these flowers is such a voice. No wilderness in the world is so desolate as to be without divine ministers. God's love covers all the earth, as the sky covers it, and also fills it in every pore. And this love has voices heard by all who have ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear that? Are you hearing the voice of God? Because he's talking to you in multiple ways, multiple layered ways, by the way. So worship him and the gifts he's given you. Delight in him. Delight with him. And show others your worship. And we want to end with this video. I want to just share it with you. Audrey Assad is one of my favorite musicians. And she wrote this song after, I don't know if you remember this, 21 men were martyred on the shore of Libya by ISIS. You remember they had the orange jumpsuits on, and they were killed on the shores. And Audrey watched that, and she said, there were not just 21 men that God loved that day. There were 42 men that God loved that day, right? And she wrote this song, and I want you to watch the nature in the song. It's cold, and the snow is soft and quiet as she sings the song over the nature. And I share that because it's winter. It's wintertime. And think about winter, and it's waiting to spring. It's waiting to thaw, just as our hearts are. And I think it's a wonderful coupling of how God speaks to us in the things he created, and he speaks to us over us in the good truths of the Word of God. So enjoy.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.